Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Well, here we are to be convinced against our own self-wisdom. We are to have a true reverence towards God and holy obedience. Well, I wonder what your first impression is if you read such a scripture as this. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Does it sound to you a little austere, imposing, even off-putting? Or does it sound like something from the Old Testament? It is from the Old Testament. Or does it sound to you more like the wise counsel of a loving Heavenly Father? I hope it's the last. But we're all prone to be wise in our own eyes, in our own ways, in what we do and what we see, to be self-sufficient. It's something of pride. And it's... There is in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 2, and it comes again in chapter 16 of Proverbs, a well-known scripture. Proverbs 14 and verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man. There he goes. Seems like the way to go. But the end thereof are the ways of death. That's a very stark text, isn't it? Someone's off. I'll do this. I'm going this way. But no, it's a dead end. It's worse than a dead end. It leads to death. It leads to hell. But yet, people think that they're wise in their own eyes. This is a natural tendency. Indeed, there's a natural tendency to hold one's nose up at this whole idea that we can't work things out for ourselves. And it goes against the natural way of people. In fact, Jeremiah, the well-known verse in Jeremiah, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So the heart is going to trick us if we're not careful. But just one warning before we continue on this. This verse I read has been used by some of the cults to get people to stop thinking for themselves and just to take their... That's very dangerous. It doesn't mean that we're to stop thinking. It doesn't mean that we're just to do everything that any minister or priest or leader would tell us to do and say, well, they've said, oh no, don't think for yourself. Very dangerous. The Bible says, just do what we say. No, it's to trust in the Lord. This is very important. That it's to trust in the Lord. And there are some who have powerful influences over people. They virtually brainwash them, bring them under their... We're going to help you, they say. And then they bring people in and they actually oppress them. They take over their lives. It's like getting a virus on a computer or a virus, taking you over. So it's not that. Be sure that it's the Lord that you're trusting in. You're not trusting in religion or anything else, good or bad religion. You're trusting only in the Lord. So I'm actually looking at verse 5 here where it says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. It's part of the same chapter there. Fear the Lord. You see, not man, but the Lord. We'll come to that in a minute. This is the general theme of Proverbs. Wisdom is in the fear of the Lord. Chapter 1 starts off these Proverbs, verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. And verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Verse 10, this warning to to depart from evil. So, chapter 3 and verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. That's the theme. Don't go your own way, fear the Lord, and that's tied with departing from evil. And in this book you'll find the depart from evil is emphasized as well. When sinners entice thee, chapter 1 verse 10, consent thou not, and I'll come back to several examples of this actually when we come to the point on departing from evil. But the first point then to get is this, as it were, self-defeat. Be not wise in thine own eyes. It's so tempting. We've all like sheep gone astray. And we all need the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very important that we don't, as I've said, confuse this with following a religion, being at church. This is about fearing God himself, not man. And that's why we're here. We're not here for a following. We're here to lead people to Jesus Christ. It's very important. There's, on this subject of independence, some of you are interested in politics. I don't got views on this, but there's a party called the UK Independence Party. Well, there's a point. They've got a point to make, I'm sure. But we're not to be independent. We're to be dependent upon God. We need if we had a political party, we could call it the UK Dependence Party. Not that we're dependent upon Europe. We're not dependent upon independence. We're dependent, we must be dependent upon God. And so it is with us. In our own eyes, we can think, oh, we're independent. We're not caught up with anything. We're doing the best we can. We've got a good heart. I'm an honest person. We say like that. Likewise, today, children are encouraged that they don't need to particularly heed to their parents' instruction. That they can be taught themselves to do the right thing. Wives are to be independent of their husbands. Women independent of men. Men independent of women. Say the whole country independent from God. Going their own ways, being wise in their own eyes. This is the way that the whole nation is set upon. And it's a very dangerous way. And let us be sure that our way is not to be wise in our own eyes, but to fear the Lord, where is the beginning of knowledge. A whole nation led astray by natural pride, natural lusts, as beasts devoid of spiritual life. Well, rather a miserable picture perhaps. But we must profess that we're not wise. That's the beginning of Christianity. I'm not a wise person, but I know God who is wise. We must admit that we're a danger to ourselves. That we're our own worst enemy. We must admit with the Apostle Paul, who wrote in Romans chapter 7, "O wretched man that I am." This is where we begin in the Christian faith. It's very much the opposite, isn't it? Of all the stuff you hear in the world all the time. Hype, hype, hype. We're down on hype. We're down on spin. Remember Peter, all confident, "Oh Lord, I never deny thee." And how he did deny the Lord. Here's another picture of how we should be, is in Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, and again, a well-known text. When Isaiah gets a vision of the throne with the angels crying around, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." What does Isaiah do? Does he suddenly say, "Here I am, He says, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Now, you may think I bring you into a gloomy disposition. Well, we don't stay in a gloomy disposition, but we must be realistic. That's the great thing about Christianity. It's real. It's real stuff. We deal with the real matters as they are, and we turn to the real God of our salvation. So let's make sure there's nothing worse than someone who knows it all. We may all come over a bit like that sometimes, but we must be sorry for it if we do. Woe is me. I'm not wise. Now, here we see something then about in that passage in Isaiah of the fear of the Lord. So if people could be brought to see God, if we were brought before the Lord Jesus Christ, all our silly foolishness would come to a stop. We'd be very serious and solemn. If we knew that God was our judge before whom we had to come, we would have a solemn fear of the Lord. But this expression, the fear of the Lord, is again one that's probably very unpopular today. Christians talk of saying God is love, and it's true, God is love. It's biblical. It's in the first epistle of John. It says it. But it doesn't say God is only love. God is love and nothing else. That's complete. Oh, you know everything about God if you say God is love. That's part of knowing about God. But it's the equivalent if a husband kept saying to his wife, "You're so pretty. You're so pretty. You're so pretty." She'd say, "Well, what about me? I'm a person as well. There's more to me than being pretty." It's not the basis for a marriage just to be pretty. It would be a disaster if all that the husband knew about the wife was that she was pretty. It would be a most miserable marriage, in fact, for both of them. And so it is, if we don't have a true fear of the Lord, then we don't know the Lord. If we only say God is love, we probably don't even know the love of God. It's probably just a phrase that's just held out in order to avoid dealing with reality. But there is to be a true fear of the Lord. Now it's true that when we speak of the fear of the Lord, we're not talking of a petrifying fear of death. Not if a person is a believer, if a person is a Christian, which here we actually taught this passage, although it's in the Old Testament, is speaking to believers, to people who are the sons of believers, and they are being brought up as Old Testament believers, what we would call now Christians. And so they know the love of God, they know the grace of God. Well, why should they be accepted by God if it's not his love? But they also have a true fear, what we might call a reverence, an awe of God. I remember some years ago now, seeing display of some American aircraft. And they flew in across, it was on the coast, and they flew across. That was quite impressive. But then as they came just in front of us, they went into an up position and took off like a rocket. It was a very awesome sight to see. It was not just impressive, it was awesome, and it made you feel quite small. A type of terror, that they weren't attacking us, thankfully, but you knew what they could do if they were out somewhere else. Extremely powerful and fearful. You maybe get that sense. Sometimes if you go into a very large building, maybe you've been to cathedrals and places, especially if it's a solemn occasion, maybe the Queen being enthroned, or some great special funeral or something. Or you go to a place and there are some very important people. They might not be very, very important, but they might be important, relatively important relative to yourself. It might be your boss or somebody like that. Then there is a sense of fear, isn't there? No, nothing's going to happen to you. But there's a sense of awe. Well, how much more should we have this when we come before our God? When we live before our God all the time. And it's not to be wise in our own eyes then, is it? How foolish that will be when there's this God who, in Isaiah chapter 40, you can read about him, well, in many places. I remember our friend John Hollins quoted from Job when he finally came to realize who God was, and God speaks to him. Who do you think you are? Where were you when I did this? Where were you when I did all these great things? And here, a similar type of reference in Isaiah and chapter 40. And for example, in verse 22, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. You know what a grasshopper is? Or a little insect? You might be kind to it and just let it hop off somewhere out of your way, or you might squash it. Some people do. I'm not saying we should squash them, but you've got that much power over a grasshopper. Nothing, is it? Or a little ant or something? But this is what the inhabitants of the earth are like. You and me. We're just like little grasshoppers compared to God. How much of a reverent fear should we have of him? And yet, Christians are said to walk with God. We're told to walk worthily. We must admit, if you're walking with someone important, you walk with them carefully, don't you? You don't just shuffle along. You don't mumble and murmur to them. You give them precedence. How much more with our God? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And it says in here, chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And then lastly, our text commands us to depart from evil. Depart from evil. I was excited on that example in chapter 1, verse 10. My son, so chapter 1 and verse 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. It'll be easy to be enticed. People are trying to entice people all the time. It's what they do. They don't just get on with their own sin. They try and entice others. Help makes them feel better about it. Not that they're going to be particularly kind to the person that they entice, but they'll try. If they try to entice thee, consent thou not. Don't go along with it. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Well, you're probably not likely to get anyone doing that, but gangs are doing that sort of thing. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own life. So the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Depart from evil. Don't get enticed into the ploys of others that they are seeking to entice and ensnare. They end up coming to their ruin. They may think that they're wise in their own eyes, but they're not wise before God. In chapter 2 and verse 10, we hear of another occasion. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. Become wise about right and wrong. Understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man. Once we have this wisdom from the fear of the Lord, we have some protection from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. To deliver thee. Well, this is what else this wisdom will do from people who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Deliver thee from the strange woman. That's literally a foreign woman. Well, it's not because she's foreign, but it's because her gods are foreign. That's the thing. She's not following the Lord. So, even from the stranger which flashes with her words. We are people, don't we, to speak nice things about us? But sometimes it's flattery to entice us. Just be very careful. We mustn't tell people off when they speak kindly to us, speak nicely to us, but beware, it may be a trap. For which forsaketh the guide of her youth, this is one here, she's turned away, perhaps this has turned away from the covenant of her God, for her house inclineth unto death and her path unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the path of life. And this is that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. Do you like the company of good people? Upright people. People that are following the Lord. They are a great encouragement to be with. For the upright shall dwell in the land and the perfect shall remain in it. See, there's a promise. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. And that's just the beginning, two books of Proverbs. Many, many warnings about the foolishness and about the wicked as it goes on. But first, the wisdom is in avoiding the wicked, avoiding their schemes. They sound like flattery. They sound nice with their lips. They look nice. But let us beware. Now, the implication in our text: be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Is that perhaps people will really say that we want to depart. We don't want to follow evil way. But this text implies that while departing from evil may indeed be something that we desire, it's not possible by the means of merely being wise in our own eyes. By our own wisdom, it's only by fearing the Lord that we'll be protected. We've still got to be careful. We've got to watch out. We've got to have on the armour of God, faith, hope and love. But without the Lord, then the departing from evil will be impossible. There, everyone will fall. One way or another, some sins are hidden. We don't know about them. But we do know that people who are outside of Jesus Christ, however pleasant they may be in some ways, they are still under God's wrath. It sounds extreme, perhaps, but it's what the Bible says. It's what the doctrine of the Church of England, the 39 Articles say, works without faith. The nature of sin. They're not done for the glory of God. They can't be done for the glory of God. And if the people are not being honest before God about their true nature, they're not admitting that they're being wise in their own eyes, they're taking it upon themselves to be proud and self-sufficient and independent, and they are obnoxious to God. Of course, His gospel is to all people, so we are to preach to all people. Now, I hope this doesn't sound too off-putting to you, but be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Further down in our chapter, it says that we should not despise the chastening of the Lord, His correction. Don't be weary of when He corrects us. When sometimes He brings us to where to a stop, He confounds our plans. He spoils our hopes and dreams that we thought we were doing right, and suddenly it's all fallen through, and suddenly we're bereaved or bereft or brought down a peg or two. And it's the Lord doing things for His people, and we mustn't try and, as it were, skew our way around it by some form of a deception, but we must submit ourselves unto the Lord. Departing from evil, departing from this self-sufficiency. And yes, this is indeed an Old Testament text, but it is a text of Solomon, son of David, one who rejoiced in his Lord, in the forgiveness of his sins, one who was promised a kingdom that he knew was of someone much greater than himself, who was writing psalms which went beyond his own understanding. And so here we know that the beliefs of these people was much beyond what some would say is just in the Old Testament. It's to be all done through Jesus Christ. We know that what was here in the Old Testament was waiting and longing for Jesus Christ, just as Abraham rejoiced to see his day of Christ and was glad. And so this wisdom that we need, not trusting in ourselves, trusting in the Lord. Well, what is this? We all see, hopefully even some of what we've said already, you'll see your own sinful tendencies. You'll see that you would never be good enough for heaven. But Jesus Christ, the Saviour who died for sinners, there we have the Lord, our righteousness. There we have wisdom. All in Jesus Christ. And so we are to trust in Him, not in ourselves. We're to fear the Lord, yes, as we've said, with a hope. We're to depart from evil, but recognizing not just the evil of those around us, not just of others that would ensnare us, but of our own hearts that would ensnare us. And we're to cry out to the Lord in Jesus Christ to help us in all these ways, to acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. And if you tell anybody, if you've got any non-Christian friends, you tell them about this, and you tell them this is what you're doing, and this is what they should do, no doubt they will mock you. They will ridicule this way as they follow the path that doesn't lead to eternal life, but to eternal condemnation. And we will, at different points, be tempted ourselves to go along with them, to fall away. But that would be one of the worst forms of being wise in our own eyes. Suddenly to drop all that God has done and said, and to be wise in our own eyes. But we are to fear the Lord and depart from evil. Jesus said that He sent forth His disciples as sheep among wolves. Therefore, they were to be as wise as serpents and innocent as doves. And I trust that we would do likewise. You maybe think of many, many ways in which you could be wise in your own eyes. Christians themselves can be very good at inventing reasons and excuses for themselves. Is it from the scripture? Or is it from the imagination? Is it from some residue of pride that keeps cropping up and leading us in our own ways? Well, we must examine ourselves according to the whole of the scriptures on these matters, that we're not being wise in our own eyes, but we're truly fearing the Lord. To fear the Lord is to believe what he said, isn't it? We must know that God is great, that he said exactly what he said. He's given us his commandments. He's told us about the way of salvation through Jesus Christ in him alone, and to live for him. And if we have a true fear of the Lord, we will then seek to repent. To depart from evil is to repent, to turn away from our own ways and to turn to God's ways and say, Lord, have mercy on me day by day, and may we be greatly helped as we seek to live for Jesus Christ. You know, I remember a pastor once said, talking about the subject of women, I mentioned women, but it's true of men as well. He said, the world doesn't need great women, it needs godly women. And it's the same for men. This is what the world needs, it needs godly people. We look very strange in this world as they try and entice us in their ways. Many of the ways of the world seem quite pleasant. Seem quite much of it. It's just day to day, and it's quite harmless, and we have to learn how to use it without getting ensnared in it. It's very difficult. It's not easy. And certainly we haven't got the wisdom to know the best way to do things. We need to walk very humbly before our God, studying our Bibles, turning to him in prayer, asking him for wisdom. If any of you, as James says, needs wisdom, we're to pray, we're to ask of God. So I'm not going to start on another subject now. But this is a great need. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, it shall be given him. James chapter 1 and verse 5. If you lack wisdom, do we lack wisdom? Of course we do. We need to ask God. And that is the whole attitude that comes out from this not being wise in our own eyes. We admit that only God knows. Where are we? Where are we meant to go? How do we know? We've got to confess. We have to make some plans. We have to try and work out what we're going to do for the next day. Maybe a bit further ahead. Maybe for the next few years. Maybe some course of our life, like a career or marriage or whatever. We have to make some decision at some point. But we have to do it humbly under God and depend upon him, not in our own wisdom, or we're going to make a right total mess, and we'll end up in the terrible state, if not completely lost. So let's pray now. Father in heaven, we thank thee, Lord, for what sounds like a rebuke, not to be wise in our own eyes and to fear thee and depart from evil, Lord. But we see in this, even today, a fatherly correction, fatherly love, that thou would not see us make a total mess of things and go off according to what we think is wise when we know so little. Thou hast made all things. We are just as grasshoppers, and thou art mighty and glorious. And Lord, we pray also that we may know the true fear of the Lord, so that we don't just have a light-hearted view of thee, Lord, but that we walk humbly before thee, acknowledging our sins, acknowledging our low state, but knowing that thou art mighty and full of grace and truth and able to save to the uttermost, and that the Lord Jesus Christ is the good Saviour who gave himself for his people. And we pray, Lord, that thou would give us, as we walk with thee, a sure and certain hope of heaven and of thy everlasting benediction upon us. Have mercy upon us, we pray. And we pray that thou would use us in this world to so walk humbly before thee, that we may be messengers of grace to others, to live in this world, or that others may be pulled out from the fire, that they may be saved and ready to meet thee in the day of the Lord, in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.